Hello, my name is Bertie Pierce. I'm speaking from a wooden cabin high up on the south side of a town called Crowborough in East Sussex. I'm looking out on the most wonderful view. I can see for almost 26 miles across lush green fields and canopies of trees. And then in the distance, I can see the South Downs, undulating. And I can even see the valley where Cookmere Haven is. It's a beautiful spring day. And the leaves are bursting out everywhere, especially on the oak trees, which are my favourite type of trees. We have 25 sheep here. And yesterday, 2 lambs were born. I can see them getting stronger by the hour. And they are now leaping around, full of life and the excitement of what lies ahead. I love this place. I've lived here all my life, and I'm now 44 years old. When I look at the beauty of creation, and particularly in the countryside, which is so special to me, I feel there can be no question that there is a designer behind this beauty. This beauty speaks of a creator God who designed and created everything that we see in our world. And not only that, that he created men and women and designed them not only to have a relationship with each other, but also to have a relationship with him, their creator. This idea that we can have a relationship with the creator of the world and indeed the universe has always been something which has blown me away and has been a very important part of my outlook on life and its true purpose. I'm one of 4 children. In fact, I'm the 3rd of 4th. And I always attribute that to making me an extrovert, always needing to maybe make a little bit noise to get the attention that I felt I deserved. We had a very happy childhood growing up in the countryside of Sussex. All the usual things that families do, playing the piano, tennis, school, running around in the fields, getting muddy in the streams down at the bottom of the field was always a highlight for me. But at the age of 9, something traumatic happened. My father was diagnosed with a terminal brain tumour. It was deeply shocking at the time, and it affected me enormously. I could not believe that life could come to an end, and that it could happen so abruptly and in such a painful way. However, what struck me most about the whole experience was how my parents slowly became more committed as Christians. They realized that they could pray and that there was a life outside of this one, but they needed to trust. And I saw my father, as he came to the end of his life, put his trust in the Lord Jesus, knowing that actually we can't be in control of everything and that there is a point where we have to hand over and trust God. That affected me hugely, and I think it made me open to the possibility of prayer and to seeking God. And although when my father did die when I was aged 11, of course it affected me in many, many ways, it also gave me the greatest gift, and one that I'm still to this day hugely appreciative for. It gave me the gift of faith to put my trust in something that I couldn't see and that was far bigger and outside of this world. It was from this point, I suppose, that I did put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, I want to trust you and I want to live for you, although it was very tentatively done. And so my Christian journey began. I was fortunate enough to go to a school where there was a Christian union, a group of children and teachers who would meet together to read the Bible, to look at what it said and to apply it to their lives. And that is something I've always done since that time. And it's been a huge, huge blessing to me. Although I should also mention that I struggled like everyone else with growing up and working out who I was and what my plan in life was to be. I should probably mention this point that I have always loved performing. I'm a born performer, I guess, in the sense that whereas many people absolutely hate the idea of having to get up in front of an audience or do anything in public, for me, that is something I find hugely exciting. and I never really feel happy unless I am in front of the crowd. And that has expressed itself through many forms of school dramas, playing musical instruments. But my real niche has been through the love of conjuring tricks, magic, an illusion, sleight of hand, or whatever you want to call it. This didn't come out of the blue. My mother's father was an amateur drawing room conjurer in the 1930s, and he and his brothers, who ran a building firm called Higgs and Hill, all practiced as amateur conjurers, and I inherited a lot of his equipment. This was to inspire me as I began myself exploring magic tricks, and so many hours were spent palming coins and playing cards, or else making up tricks and then inflicting them on family members. But soon I found myself performing at children's parties or little local events in the village halls, and I realised the immense joy and pleasure that can be given through a performance that works and engages an audience. After school, I went on to read drama at Manchester University, which was enormous fun. I loved the contrast from the Sussex countryside with the bustling city of Manchester, which was full of people and excitement. And I learnt so much from that course. And from there, I went on to Paris to a drama school called the École Internationale du Théâtre Jacques Lecoq, which had people from all over the world who'd come to learn more of how to perform, especially using their body. I adored Paris, and I could say that it was one of the most exciting times in my life. I was 22 years old, I was studying a wonderful subject and enjoying in one of the great cities of the world. And yet again, God had other ideas. Because I'd carried on reading my Bible on a daily basis and putting my trust in him. But I found that I was struck by a lethal liver illness. My eyes and my skin went bright yellow and I came back home and ended up at King's College Hospital, where they told me that I probably wouldn't make it. Somehow I'd contracted a lethal virus and had acute liver failure. Well, this experience, again traumatic, like the illness of my father, but this time I felt my faith crystallise as I realised that lying on a hospital bed in London with nothing, it was me and God, and I had a choice of going into total despair or else yet again putting my trust in him, which I did. I have always struggled with anxiety and fear. It's haunted me. And so I found enormous comfort from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. For me, the mountains of my life were collapsing, as I was battling this lethal disease. And I hung on. I was so overwhelmed by the prayers and support of Christians, in fact, all over the world, who were praying that I would make a recovery. God clearly spoke to me at that time, and I remember crying out to him and saying, God, why is this happening to me? And I got a clear answer, almost immediately, because I love you, my child. It was almost as if this was something I had to go through so that I would learn to trust him and it would cement our relationship. Well, on May the 2nd, 1997, I went in under a Conservative government and came out 12 hours later under New Labour because I'd received a liver transplant. It was a miracle. Within 2 weeks, I was back home in Sussex, recovering. And I knew that something extraordinary had happened, that not only had I received a liver transplant, but that I realised that without God there is nothing, and that I would live from this day on, trusting in him and holding firm to that belief that Jesus came into the world and died on a cross so that we could be free from our sin, free from the sins around us in a fallen world, that we can receive eternal life, that indeed we have a future with him. Well, that, of course, now is 21 years ago, and still I'm grateful for that transplant, but I'm even more grateful for what the Lord continues to do in my life. I find that my heart is often wandering after other things, often forsaking God and lusting after different things at different stages in my life. And yet, that illness teaches me to keep coming back to my Father in heaven, who loves me and has a plan for me, an eternal plan that will take me to a new life eventually with him. I'm still performing tricks, and I still get a huge amount of pleasure from entertaining audiences. But I know that that's not my real purpose. My real purpose is to glorify God, to live for him, and to do all things for his glory and for his sake. In fact, he's blessed me hugely with a wife and two children who are now growing up fast, and a wonderful community of believers at All Saints Church, Crowborough, where it really has been and continues to be a huge privilege and joy to serve that church and to come alongside the church family. I'm part of a home group. There are 10 of us who meet every Tuesday night to pray and to read God's word and to apply it to our lives. And that too is a huge blessing as we encourage one another to stand firm in our faith and to grow in our relationship with our loving Heavenly Father until the day when we are taken back to our eternal home with him. As I finish now, I look out on that beautiful view that I described at the beginning of this recording, those downs, those beautiful trees. And I'm reminded again that God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Thank you for listening to this small part of my story, and my prayer is that you too may come to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, and that by putting your trust in him, you may secure an eternal future and peace with God, the creator of this world and indeed this universe. Thank you.